Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage. Check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out our blog while you're there as well. Janet Christie is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Janet's a new friend. She's founder and president of Leverage and Development, LLC, a consulting firm that helps women and minority-owned businesses put their best foot forward in the marketplace. She's the author of the new book, Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. And Janet is our new friend. Janet, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you. I'm very excited about it.
Well, I'm sure you are, and I'm glad you wrote it. I'm glad that you have made this information available to women-owned business. Janet, just to give you just a little bit of background, I have spent a very significant portion of the programming on this show in the last almost 9 years on women's issues, women in the marketplace issues. I've done, 100 interviews with the associate administrators of the SBA for women-owned businesses, and on and on. We've talked a lot about this. There's never been a better time for a woman to start and run a business, has there?
Absolutely. This is the best time.
Tell us why.
Well, a lot of businesses and government entities have kind of gone past that setting the goal or making set-asides for women minority-owned businesses because they finally discovered that there's two real strong reasons. One is they benefit from having a more diverse list of suppliers. It's a longer list. It's more different types of business owners and therefore gives them advantages of having competition for their business. And that's government and business.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is that a lot of government entities have finally picked up on the fact that if they help women and minority businesses be successful, they increase the tax base, which helps everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, plus those corporate entities have a 23% requirement to do business with small businesses. Is there a separate percentage for minority, or is it all lumped into the same 23% for small business?
It depends on the business itself and what their exact vendor diversity or supplier diversity policy is. Most of the time, corporations will lump them together.
Right.
Even though they may talk about them separately, when it comes to the requirement or the goal, it's all kind of lumped together.
Now, ladies, before you get excited about having set-asides and maybe it being an easier track to run on, which it can be, that's the good news. The bad news is there's a lot of competition for that piece of the pie, isn't there, Janet?
Oh, there is. And what happens so much of the time is that people have kind of been lulled into, well, we'll use women-owned businesses for this list, these types of things, like catering for the meetings and doing some training and other kind of feminine-type kind of things. And then they may meet the goal that way, and so, of course, everybody's going into those businesses and there's a lot of competition. But they would like to meet the goal by using women in grading and IT and
construction.
Yes.
We have spoken to those women on the show. In fact, year before last, Janet, the Small Business Person of the Year was in oil remediation in Maine.
Oh, really?
I mean, talk about a non-typical female job, but she was, and we've spoken to a number of women who we met one woman who owns a foundry She bought a foundry and started operating it, and she's doing it successfully now. And that's a 19th century business that she's operating. But the thing is, you know, one of the most important things that I want to make sure we get across, Janet, today, and I want you to help me with this, is yes, there are set-asides, and you do a very good job in your book of identifying the by the numbers way to go and find those prospects from corporations, from government entities, that sort of thing. You do an excellent job there in your book, but the thing is that small businesses and women-owned businesses and minority-owned businesses have got to be careful not getting seduced by those prospects. Because it is competitive, those may not be there all the time from now on for forevermore, and the history shows, Janet, as you know, that the businesses that grow up depending on set asides, depending on some advantages like that, wind up failing more often than not when those set asides go away, don't they?
Oh, they definitely do. And also that's kind of a misuse of the set-asides or even the goals, because those are to give women and minority-owned businesses and sometimes any kind of small business an open door or an edge so that they get their foot in and get acclimated to the type of business and get a chance to build their reputation. But they've got to capitalize on that, just like capitalizing on being woman-owned, but they've got to capitalize on the fact that they got that door open and they got their foot in, and now they need to show that they can do the business. And then they don't wait for the next call. They make the call. They keep their name in front of the businesses or the government entities. And they
What I think they ought to do, Janet, and I've never heard anybody else say this but me, Janet, is that within a period of time, let's say 1 or 2 years, of starting a minority-owned business or a woman-owned business that is able to take advantage of these set-asides, that within 1 or 2 years or maybe 3 or whatever, some period of time, for every, for every $3 of set-aside business you get, you have to demonstrate that you can create $1 or maybe $1.50 of non-set-aside business. And if you can't do that, then you can't go after that other business. What do you think?
And it's interesting that they don't have some kind of measure or program that promotes that kind of thing, because if they want it, they being the government, if they want the women and minority-owned businesses to succeed, they've got to help them feed themselves.
That's exactly right. Don't buy them. Don't give them fish, folks. You got to teach them how to fish. That's the key. And that's what Janet Christie does. Her book is called Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Janet and I will be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Girl, to call my own. I want a dream lover, so I don't have to dream alone.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Janet W. Christie. I got the W in there because that's what's on the book. And if you're looking for her book, you might want to stick that in there. And that's Christie without the E, with just a Y on the end there. And the book is called Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. Janet, tell us where the book's available, please.
It is available in most chain bookstores and available at any on-store online bookseller.
Okay.
And some of the independent bookstores, too.
All right. And what about your own website?
Leverage and Development is the name of my consulting firm. So there is a website in that name. And then I did do
Leverage and Development?
Yes.
All together? Okay.
Yes.
And
.com? Correct.
Okay. And what do we find when we get there?
It talks about the services that my consulting firm does, which, of course, is work doing marketing, research, planning, training, consulting for women and minority-owned businesses. And then I also work with cities and counties and economic development entities to help them develop entrepreneurial communities and incubators and programs to help women and minority-owned businesses. So there's a little information about that, too.
That's. Do you think incubators should be trained a little bit more on encouraging women-owned businesses?
I think incubators should be trained a little bit more on helping lots of people instead of just being something that people can check off their list that they
right.
have for them.
Right. I see what you mean. Yeah, that's another story. We probably ought to come back another day and talk about incubators. That's a topic I'm very much interested in and am currently involved in a little bit. We're talking about women-owned businesses and Janet, as you know, women are approaching 50% of the ownership of all businesses in America, aren't they?
Yes, they are. The new statistics are out from the Women's Business Research Center, and it's 40.2 now.
Yep, that's with a bullet, folks. They're taking off, and I'll tell you something, Janet. As much as I know you talk about correctly, women going after the opportunities inside of the government, inside of the government contractors and cities and states and that sort of thing. I know lots and lots of women-owned businesses who've never gotten a nickel from a set-aside.
Oh, yeah. Most of the ones that I've ever worked with have not.
No. In fact, more's the pity, Janet, because it's opportunity for them. I mean, what I'm getting at is folks, this is the set-aside route is not the only track to success. In fact, I've actually, I've known a number of women who I've actually said to them, look, you're doing great, but if you really wanted to find some low-hanging growth fruit, go after some of these, and I didn't talk to them about minority set-asides or women-owned set-asides. I talked to them about small business set-asides.
Because the majority of them are just small business
right.
in general, yes.
One of the things I recommend that they do is look into the SBA's business matchmaking program. What about you? What are some things that you suggest? I know you have a number of things in your book.
Well, and that is a good one. And then there are also a lot of times local matchmaking type of meetings and conferences.
Right.
So a city, a county, if they have a program to work with small businesses or women or minority owned, will probably have one of those. Chambers sometimes do that. Networking groups do. And, of course, there's the Carolina Minority Supplier Development Council, which is not... Carolina because that's where I'm from. It's a national organization,
mm-hmm.
but there's one in every state. But they do not consider women a minority. But
right.
if a woman is also a minority, that's an excellent group to participate in
mm-hmm.
because they do that matchmaking all the time.
In general, Janet, what are your suggestions for if there are lots of women listening to you right now who are sitting at their kitchen table and they want to supplement their income, they want to be able to have own their own business and one day be doing their own thing. There are a lot of different motivations that women have for wanting to start businesses. Sometimes they plan to always keep it small. Some people are a little more aggressive and a little more ambitious than that. What are your recommendations to them? What do you think they should do?
The first thing I always suggest is to clarify really what your business is going to be. What product and service are you going to offer? And then identify who your prospects are, who really will be your customer or client. Those are things you'll have to know before you can ever get financing, and certainly things you'll have to know before you can ever be successful. After that, I say use marketing, true, proven marketing principles. I try to stress that there is no magic marketing formula and there are no magic wands. So you have to develop your own marketing plan using marketing principles. And this book is written, it's called Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned, and that's exactly what it is, marketing principles, how to research, how to develop a plan, how to go after the prospect, and how to identify the prospect using marketing principles with the angle of being woman-owned.
And I like what you say in your book. You say no free lunches.
Nope.
Just because you're a woman or whatever you are, whoever you are, the marketplace doesn't care about that, does it?
No. And I know there are, and we talked a little bit about set-asides, but most of the people that I work with have never taken advantage of that. And I know that people think that women get business all the time, get contracts and make sales because they're woman-owned.
Right.
But I haven't found one yet.
Well,
that was the only reason.
And with regard to grants, I tell them Grant died, Janet.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did. A long time ago.
Janet, give us your website again, please.
It's leverageanddevelopment.com.
And the book is called Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned by Janet W. Christie. Janet, thank you for being here. Good job. Let's see you another time.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Quick break. Right back with Chester Elton right after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.